leave.
Have been dethroned again.
You have, and it's been a very peaceful transfer of power, so no issues there. If we could go around the table and just have everybody identify yourself for the record so we know who's here. Let's start here with Steve.
Stephen Foote, Duchesne County Attorney.
Bob Church, UPC.
Marilyn Jasperson, UPC. Haley Christensen, Special Attorney General.
Rob Van Dyke, King County Attorney.
Margaret Olson, Plymouth County Attorney.
Jan Ferris, Morgan County Attorney.
Tyson Skeen, Utah Prosecution Counsel.
Peter Levitt, Utah Prosecution Counsel.
Chris Allred, Weber County, just heading out.
Scott Sweat, Wasatch County.
Steve Garcet, Layton City.
And Barry Huntington. Anybody on the back?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm on way for you to see.
Yeah.
Dane Nolan, Utah Criminal Law Journal.
Brian Peters, Sheriff County. Steve Hatchell, Buffalo County.
We've got two.
Mark Thomas, Union County.
Jeff Beale, Utah County.
Welcome, everybody. We have Judge Nolan here today, and he'd like to address us about his criminal law journal. So the time's now yours, sir.
Thanks. Just over here?
Sure.
Thank
just
you
so
very
the mic
much.
Can pick you up.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. I appreciate the ability and the opportunity to come and talk to you. Let me get my notes here. I am Dane Nolan, and I'm a retired juvenile court judge. And to let you know a little bit about myself, I was a prosecutor with the district attorney's office for 12 years. And County Attorney Olson and I did many cases together. We were on special victims team for many years. And then I was appointed as a juvenile court judge, was a juvenile court judge for 14 years, and retired in July. The one thing that I am doing law-wise is I'm the lead editor on the Utah Criminal Law Journal. And I'm here today for two reasons. One is to raise the profile of the journal, to let you know about it, and the other is to ask for a donation. So that's why I'm here today. I'm happy to answer questions that you might have. The Law Journal was created in 2012, and I was one of the original members. Bob Church, also one of the original members, and it was under the leadership of Kent Hart with the Federal Defenders and the Criminal Defense Council. We published a journal in 2013. We published an edition in 2014. We were on track to publish an edition in the fall of 2016. And that summer, Kent Hart died tragically. And we've been kind of in the pick up the pieces mode since then. And so this is part of that process. And kind of what happened was I thought I was probably going to retire, and I was interested in taking on this, but wasn't absolutely sure. And then kind of the timing wasn't until July of 2017 that really was able to do that. What we've done is recently is we formed a corporation. We've got 501c3 status. We've got a solicitation permit. And we're in the process of editing articles. We're targeting publication date sometime this spring, depending upon the funding. I don't know if you probably all or some of you have a copy of the editions on your desk or in your offices. I'd refer you to that to see the work that we've produced in the past. The main purpose, and this comes from Kent Hart's sort of initial and lead introduction of the journal in issue one, but the main purpose is to improve communication among and respect for various actors in the criminal justice system, explore novel legal questions, address thorny legal issues, and explore creative solutions to crime its effects and its effects on society. Although the articles may be defense or prosecution oriented, overall goal is to provide a balanced discussion of an academic nature to be relied upon by judges, prosecutors, and defense counsel. Target audience is all prosecutors in the state, all judges, the criminal law section of the bar, the Utah Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, UJDA, legal defenders, and the appellate practice section. Our intention, what we would like to do is get a free copy of the next edition to all of those attorneys. I'm also here to, like I said, to get the word out, so I'd be interested in anybody who wants to submit articles, write a book review, anything that you think would be helpful to prosecutors, defense, just related to criminal law here in Utah. Also very interested in people who might want to be editors. We've got a roster of approximately 20 editors right now. I'd like to have more so I don't have to hit up everybody every time we have an edition. So that's why I'm here today. Bob thought it might be a good idea for me to come and talk to you and say some things and answer any questions. And that's kind of what we're about. We're in the pick up the pieces mode, like I said. We're getting there, and I'm targeting publication in the spring, hopefully. So.
Who's replacing Kent Hart?
Sorry?
Who's replacing Kent Hart?
Well, I'm the lead editor. He was the lead editor, so I'm now the lead editor. Well, one of the articles we have is a tribute to him, and I think that's going to be pretty nice. He was really an amazing writer. I looked through some of his stuff from before, and he was very talented. So it's kind of, you know, following through with his legacy a little bit. This was his idea. This was his, vision. So we're trying to keep it going.
Do you have sufficient submissions for your 2018 edition?
We do. We've got seven. We've got a Doctrine of Chances article. We've got a state constitution article that's pretty interesting. We have a legislative update. We have a sexual assault, kind of a nurse examiner's.
The trauma, it was a from Donna. Legal article Donna Kelly wrote and
Julie Valentine. Julie Valentine.
Yeah, thank you, Julie Valentine.
We've got one. I can't remember the exact title, but it relates to when former defense counsel go to a prosecution office and making sure the ethics and the confidentiality is protected in those situations. I'm missing something here. Can't think of what it is right now. But that gives you a little bit of an idea of the kinds of articles that we're looking at. Right now, it's going to be 120 to 150 pages is what we're estimating.
Any other questions? Bob, have we ever, I can't think of any time we've actually donated.
No, we haven't. We've talked about it in the past, but there's been, you know, questions, one of which was printing costs. It's a little different than what I think I reported initially, because...
Right. I've been working with Hudson Printing, and the way it worked before, it was a joint criminal law section, UACDL, publication, I guess you would say, or the funding for it. I don't know if they ran out of money or they just weren't willing to donate again. But it's changed a little bit. And it was printed by the prison. And the price was approximately $5,000. That was for 1,200 copies. I'm thinking I can get 1,200 for less than 4,000 from Hudson Printing is the name of the business I've been working with them. The UACDL, they've pledged $1,500. I've received a donation of $1,000 from an anonymous entity. I've received $250 from an individual, and that's kind of where we are. I've recently sent out a bunch of fundraising letters to defense counsel, and we'll be doing some follow-up. I've also sought Margaret and Trish here, and I was going to hit them up, so I'm just, you know, just working people for the funding.
And just to let the council know, as part of that fundraising letter that was sent to defense counsel that indicated, and I don't think the editorial board has decided exactly how it will be, but anybody that, you know, provides a donation will have then their logo either on the journal's webpage or in the publication. So it would be a mechanism for the council to get its brand out further. And then the other question we had is, not every prosecutor, I think Jan, where's Jan? Yeah, you didn't get a copy, and what we figured out is it was an outdated mailing list. And so on the prosecution side, I've had Ron go through and scrub our conference database to try to get every prosecutor's address in the state that will provide, and make sure that we do get a copy of that, every prosecutor.
So if this council made a donation, would there be some extra copies available to maybe give to our members at conferences, or do you just hit the mailing list of current attorneys and that?
Sure. If I know that, then I'll ask Hudson for $1,500, maybe, or $1,400 additional printings. I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are going to look like with prosecution, defense. I'm still getting mailing lists. 1,200 is what we did before. I think there was 1,140 that were actually mailed out. It's likely grown a little bit since then, but definitely if that's something that prosecutors are interested in, we can have additional copies. Happy to do that. Thank you very much.
Thanks for
have a good meeting. Right? Thank you.
Yeah, Steve asked us, what if we were to make a donation, how would that come under our mandate to train prosecutors? But because it is designed to be a journal for both prosecutors and defenders, there's prosecutors, defenders, judges on the editorial board, so it really is a good mix. I think, it could be justified as that resource. Ed Berkovich has been published in it. Troy Rawlings and Kent Hart published a joint article in the last issue. And as he said, we're looking for prosecutors to submit those articles.
Anybody have a number in mind, or is this a yes or no?
I think prosecutors will be more likely to submit things to this journal if our name is on it.
Right.
Because in the past, it's been looked at really as a criminal defense journal, not as a prosecutor's journal. And so I think it might be beneficial for us to do this.
What's
he
asking for?
It's whatever the council would like to feel that they could donate.
Well, we need to ask you, what is our budget looking
exactly
like? And where are we going to be here in 6 months when our budget gets reviewed?
Right. So UACDL's donated $1,500. We could afford to go up to that amount.
I think if we're going to take ownership of it, I think we need to match that, in my opinion. If we're going to put our name right beside that and say, this is going to be a prosecutor's journal as well, I think that would be the way to go.
Do you want to make a motion then?
I would move that we allow Bob to make a donation of $1,500 towards the printing costs and of the journal. It does have some prosecutorial benefit at this point, and we should encourage our prosecutors to write and submit articles.
There's a motion. Is there a second? Any discussion? Mr. Ferris seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries, so please donate $1,500 to the journal.
All right. We have our editorial meeting on Monday, and I'll let them know.
Can you follow up with them, a few extras maybe for some of our things to have available? For some of the other
things that I've done. Yeah, I like that idea.
And I just wanted to make a quick announcement. Joanne Stringham, I didn't know her, but I guess she passed away. So she was a former county attorney, so I wanted to make a record of that.
She was a UNA county attorney for about 20 years. She retired and Mark came on board, so.
We're going to skip a little bit. I know Peter is heading somewhere. So if we can skip to the resource prosecutor reports from Tyson and Peter.
I can be very brief. My every meeting and training that I've done the last quarter is all in the report for you to review. All the numbers are there. I've been pretty busy. Looking forward to another great year.
And we appreciate you coming down. I mean, you being available to officers throughout the state. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Happy to come to Garfield County anytime you want.
Appreciate that. January is a good time.
January is a good time.
Beautiful in January.
King County's not
bad. Mr. Levitt, do you have anything?
I'll store stuff. Sorry, I have to come to trial lawyer. I have to stand. My mouth doesn't work right. So I'll give you a quick update since my position is pretty new. As most of you know, this came about through HB 200, so my primary, responsibility was to carry out the training goals for HB 200. Those are twofold. The first is kind of a smaller training that's intended for all officers, which deals with, you know, recognizing symptoms of trauma, interacting with victims in a non-judgmental way, report writing. It's that training is, as I've, over the last few months, been able to talk to the folks at CCJJ, some of the people who are behind the drafting of the bill and looked at the bill myself. I've seen that training, and also working with Scott and Wade at Post, that training is intended for all officers, kind of an introductory training. The second part of HB 200 was to develop a more intensive training that's going to be done at Post, but that's intended for detectives and people who are actually doing the sexual assault investigations, and that one's going to be more focused on the trauma-informed interview, so that the people who are actually doing the interviews of these victims are doing them in you know, the best way possible. And so those have to be ready by June of this year. So what I've done is, of course, focus on the first part of the training. There's a video that Post has developed that all officers can use, but of course with the funding and with this position, my intention was to go around the state and provide that first part of the training to as many officers as I possibly can. That was where, I guess, the first 6 months of this year were going to be directed. At the same time, Post and I, and we have a curriculum coordinator who is developing the more intensive training, which is sort of a review of some of the same subjects that the first one's covering, and then in addition, that more intensive focus on trauma-informed interviews. So the good news is that is that first training is complete. I was able to look over my predecessor's materials as well as consider my own experience. I went to an NDA training, got some really good materials there, and then also was able to make some connections with prosecutors in other states with some of those same things. And that training is ready to go, and we just need to reach out to the training coordinators across the state and start doing that. And then we have a few meetings in January that we're planning on doing with Post to develop the second part. The other part of HB 200 that I see involvement with this position is with the SAUKI part of it, which is the testing of the backlog sexual assault kits. And so I've tried to support that as much as I can. Ned Searle up with CCJJ was hoping that I could attend a lot of the reviews they do as they do these additional backlog rape kit tests. They do reviews on whether they're going to refile or reactivate the case. And so I've tried to attend those meetings as well to be a support to that. As I put in here, a future in this position, once they have time, I could see jumping on and co-chairing one of the cases that's filed from a SAUKI backlog kit. I think that would be really good support for CCJJ. It'd be good for UPC, and it'd be good to get support for that SAQI program. Been sitting on councils, all that stuff's in there. So you're probably, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm speaking in about my, whoever does this training as not being me and being someone else. I wanted to let everyone know, last Thursday, I got a call that was an unexpected call. It wasn't something I had applied for or reached out for. 2 years ago, when I was at my previous job, which will go unnamed, but I was miserable at, I was applying to different jobs, and I interviewed with a company for an in-house counsel position. I didn't get it, but for some reason, they had a resignation last week, and they called me and just offered me the job. It's a really very great opportunity. It's one I can't pass up. I realized that you all just hired me, that this council okayed my hire. I also realized that this council okayed the compensation I got, which didn't come without some heartache to some people. So I very much appreciate that. And it's such a good opportunity. I couldn't say no, but it was hard for me to talk to Bob about it. I want you to know, he's doing an awesome job. One of the best bosses I've had, present company excluded. one of the best bosses I've had. He's doing a great job. And I think the good news is that I really think that over the last few months, I've been able to get this position into a place where whoever takes over for me will be able to take that training and run with it. And I've got a couple weeks. Scott and I will get together and make sure that everyone is, especially the training coordinator, is on board with what should really be the result of that other training. So, anyway, any questions for me or anything else? I look so nice today, and the reason I have to go, I apologize for that, is I was placed on the Council for Victims of Crime. And we were lucky enough to get a meeting with Representative Snow to try to fix that juvenile mess bill that was passed last year. And so I would like to be at that to hopefully voice a little bit more on behalf of prosecutors for that.
So. Just so y'all know, Peter's done really great things. You know, he took the ball, ran with it, has reached out, made the contacts that he's needed. And has gotten us, as he said, into a position where the training is ready to be deployed. He mentioned he's got some trainings in January. I'm able and to cover those, so we're not going to leave anybody hanging. But I would just appreciate, he's been outstanding work with me. I hate to see him go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Wanted to recognize Mr. Stevenson from Post. Right. Thanks for making it today. All right, let's go to number three, approval of the minutes. Anybody had a chance to read those? Jan usually does.
I did, and I'll move.
Do we have a
second? Yes.
Okay.
Second. We have a second from Mr. Foote.
The only change I saw was that when I talked to Mr. Berkovich, it wasn't the cancerous soul, it was cankerous soul.
Cankerous.
The result is the same, so okay. I'm good with the way
it is. So you're okay as it's written?
Yeah.
Okay.
We replaced the C with a K.
All right.
Here comes another grammar question.
All right, all in favor of the motion to approve the minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any changes besides? All right. Let's move along to the financial report. Mr. Church.
Okay, thank you. So you can see the surcharge. Oh, by the way, those that were at the SWAT meeting, I sent you an email that contains the full spreadsheet. All I reproduce here for your benefit is just what UPC gets, and then that 5%, at that 0.5%, the Attorney General's Office continues to get for domestic violence training for state and local prosecutors. But the email that I sent you will contain everything. You can see what the numbers are compared to previous years. They go up and they go down. But as we talked about, again, with SWAP, if this proposed legislation goes through in terms of community service in lieu of fines, not only us, but everyone else that receives the surcharge is going to take a huge hit. So we need to really keep our eyes on that. On tab D is the budget. Now, when I sent this out the first part of the week, I did not know about Peter leaving yet. And so the reason I say that is because I made the note that we did not have the numbers yet for Peter's salary. You'll see that if you look at the budget, we have it under expense reimbursements, $182,800, but there's nothing in terms of reimbursement yet because we haven't actually received the exact numbers. As we talk about later, I can you'll see a different budget, and that one I mean we're halfway through the fiscal year, and so I just split that number in half and added it into our budget, and when I pass that out a little bit later, you'll see how that affects the budget. So like I said, we're in a good position regardless of the what the surcharge, you know, the fluctuation in the surcharge. In our registration for our conferences has been good. You know, we continue to get the grant funding for Tyson's position. We have $36,000 that I can use towards the payment of Peter's salary from the VAWA DV grant that we had. So we're doing well. We have, I don't think are we still missing a couple numbers though from some of the conferences? No? Okay, everything's good.
I think we're good on all of it. We just haven't received our revenue.
Okay. Just so y'all know, I have reported in the past that John R. Justice was going to go away, then it was going to be that we had to match. Well, they again have changed, so there's no longer a matching requirement to get the funds. And so we have been approved for $36,409 to distribute as part of the John R. Justice grant. So that's, but other than that, the budget really hasn't changed since our last meeting. Oh, sorry. Marilyn just pointed out what I sent out. It says September 17. The second set of numbers should all be 6. So we'll make that change in my official minutes that we post on the webpage. But just realized, yeah, it was supposed to be last year's numbers.
Well, regarding the budget, what's the process to replace Peter then?
We're going to talk about that.
Okay, we're going to executive session.
You're good, yeah.
Any questions about the financial report? Anyone? We don't need a motion or anything on this, right?
No,
this is just informational. All right, conferences.
You'll see that even though BASIC was during the prior, not in this last quarter, we didn't have the final numbers, so we've just provided that since we told you we would do that, in case you're interested in that. Fall conference, for those of you that were there, it was a great conference. People really liked the theme, the fight before the fight, you know, with the focus on all of that pre-trial advocacy and issues that come up, filing of, you know, motions in limine, all of that. And they just really enjoyed it, as well as having a representative from the Attorney General's office. So it was, again, we're getting outstanding comments. People really liked it. And you know, the numbers are in there. Civil conference, good reviews. We've said in the past that they're a more expensive conference, but this year they were pretty good. So we just need to monitor that and help them understand that they don't get to spend more than anybody else. County executive, Scott, good conference. You know, overall the conference was good and the breakouts were helpful. We apologize that we weren't more of a help to you as you were planning that, and we'll do a better job next year.
You know, I didn't realize you guys were available, but I appreciated what you did.
So. Well, that's our fault for not communicating that. So whoever succeeds you, we'll make sure that you know, we do a good job being there. In December, we hosted the National Association of Prosecutor Coordinators Conference down at Zions. These are my national counterparts and Tyson's national counterparts coming from all over the country. We had 42 to 50 people that came. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved it. You know, for those that come from the East and have never seen mountains and canyons, they were just in awe. Marilyn negotiated a great contract with the hotel, saving NAPC about $15,000 in costs that they would normally have to spend. And so their executive director wanted me to let you know how much he appreciated her hard work as Peter mentioned, he's made some great contacts, which we will then pass on to the new person. And then Tyson hosted his counterparts